Thank you guys so much for giving. If you came in just a little bit late, my name is Lance, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Bethel. We're going to be in Romans chapter 5. As you can see, we're beginning a new series that we're going to be talking really all throughout the month of January. And so hopefully you're going to make a commitment. I'm going to be at church in January because this series is going to be great. But before we jump into the verse, I just want to remind you that this week we begin our time of prayer and fasting. The beginning of every year, we always start with fasting and prayer. And so on January the 7th, that's a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we're going to be praying 9, noon, and 6 p.m. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 9 and noon, and then Friday night, we're going to be joining our church in Brentwood and having a big service together if you'd like to come be a part of that. Pastor Richard and I are also going to be doing some things on Facebook Live to keep us moving because when we fast, I know for me, I don't like fasting alone because I get hungry and I get upset. And so I need people fasting with me that can encourage me as I move through this week. And so hopefully you can join us with that. There's some booklets out in the lobby that can lead you through our fast, or you can get the app, which is on, you can go to the App Store, type in Every Nation. That's our ministry that we're a part of, and you'll see the app there. Romans chapter 5. I'm so excited about our message today. I believe it's going to encourage us and prepare us and get us ready for 2020. Here we go. We're going to read verses 12 through 21. He says, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses," talking about Adam from Genesis, the book of Genesis, "even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin," talking about Adam, "for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Now the law came to increase the trespass. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Big passage of Scripture. Sometimes that passage can be confusing. You can get tongue-tied reading that passage. But today we're going to be able to break that down and really apply it to our life. First off, to really help us jump into this series and this message today, there were some big events in 2019 that probably didn't make the news that we need to be aware of. First off, did you know that the oldest known Christian church, they actually discovered it in sub-Sahara Africa? This church was discovered here in 2019. Another big story was there was a picture, you might have heard about this, that was hung, this was the picture here, in a 90-year-old woman's home. And she was going to sell her home, and she was going through some of the things that she had, and she actually discovered that this was a rare Renaissance painting of Christ's crucifixion. And this painting sold for over $6 million. I need to check some of the pictures I have in my house. Maybe they're worth $6 million. What about this one? A 20-year-old Bangladesh woman gave birth twice to 3 children in the span of 1 month. She gave birth to a baby boy in the month of February, went home, found out she started having some stomach problems, some pain in her stomach, went back and found out that she actually had 2 uteruses. And she was pregnant with twins in the other uterus. And that's the picture of the three babies. She gave birth 26 days later. Ladies, can you imagine? Woo! My lands. What about this one? A billionaire by the name of Robert Smith spoke, and this one really ties to our message today, he gave the commencement speech at Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia. And what he did is he announced as he was given this speech that he was going to pay the student debt, all of the student debt loan, all the loans that these students have for the graduating class of 2019. Woof! I mean, you know that those kids went bananas when they heard that. I mean, to get our student loan debt or any debt of any kind paid off, then that can be freeing, isn't it? You know, when you think about overwhelming acts of kindness like this, someone doing something like this, paying off someone's debt, you know, it really does bring great freedom and great joy. This man showed what? Great grace to these students. And when someone does something like this, maybe for you or for someone else, it really causes a question to arise. How should we respond when something like this is done? When someone goes above and beyond what you know you desire. Again, this series is called Amazing Grace. And like these students, we also have been given something that we do not deserve. This past week, preparing for 2020, Dee and I, we set our children down and we basically asked them three simple questions to help them prepare for 2020. And as I ask these questions, you're going to see what's important in the Phillips home. First off, we asked, we said, now what do you want to do or what could you do to improve in your relationship with Jesus in 2020? They gave all kinds of answers and we kind of helped them narrow it down to simply, hey, why don't you just choose to read a verse or a chapter of the Bible each day and how important that is and it causes us to grow in our relationship with Jesus. We asked them, how can you improve your grades? How can you get better and improve your grades at school? And the last one was, what do you need to do to improve in your sport, whether it's football, baseball, one of my daughters dances? How can you improve this way? You know, all of us, I think, when coming into a new year, we think about the future. We think about things that we want to change. Maybe it's breaking a physical barrier. Maybe it's improving in our leadership abilities. Maybe it's going back to school, taking on a new job, handling our relationships differently. Whatever your goals are going to be, I'm telling you, it's going to take amazing grace. This is why we need to be here in January. It's going to take God's amazing grace for us to obtain our goals. I think many times we use words that are familiar, words we've heard before, or words we have used before, but yet that meaning remains unclear to us. And this word grace, it's used many times when you come to church. We talk about the grace of God. But really, what does that word mean? Sometimes we say, hey, will you say grace, right? When we're about to eat a meal, say a blessing, or will you say grace? Or maybe we want somebody to give us a break. Man, hey, why don't you show me some grace? But if we need grace to live this life, what is it? How do we get it? The Bible's going to help us today, specifically Romans chapter 5. It's going to help us understand and embrace this word, grace. Immediately when we jump into Romans 5, we see we have a problem. Sin has come into this world. And if you read your entire Bible, what you know is that sin hasn't just come into the world, but it's come into our human hearts. You know, sin, this thing that's inside of us that causes us many times to do things that we wish we would never do. This thing that destroys relationships, that causes selfishness and hurtful things to come to our own life and also to come to others. Sin is a huge problem. And each and every one of us face this problem. Now, again, I want you to stick with me in this message because as we read Romans 5, I mean, hopefully you could see, this is difficult to understand and you can get lost in Romans chapter 5. So what I would like for you to do is designate somebody in your row to be the amener, all right? Somebody in your row that's going to keep everybody awake and it's going to be the one that encourages me today because I need your help when describing Romans chapter 5. But we're going to break it down for you this morning. To deal with this problem, what Romans does is it takes us back really to the very beginning. It takes us all the way back to the book of Genesis, really Genesis chapter 3, where we find how sin entered our world and into our hearts. We have this guy named Adam. You guys remember the guy named Adam? God's creation, Adam, what did he do? He made the decision that probably wasn't the best decision. And because of his decision, we're still dealing with the effects of sin. And as you read really the first half of the book of Romans, as we're building up to Romans 5, really as you read it, it's almost too much for you and I to believe. When we see the effects of sin and what it's done when it comes to our relationship with God, and really what it's done inside of us, really the statement that should be made is, really? If we have fallen that far from God, can one man's sacrifice, talking about Jesus, really bring about that many benefits in my life? Now, God knows that we're going to have this question. That's why we have Romans chapter 5. Because Romans 5 really brings to us a great promise that comes from a man that Romans 5 calls the second Adam. In verse 12, Paul is continuing a conversation he started in chapter 3. Chapter 3, man, is depressing to read. He's reminding us that sin has come into the world through one man's disobedience. Now, it's going to be a little bit negative at the beginning here of this message. And there's a reason. The reason why, and really the book of Romans does this as well, the reason why is because if you never truly understand how far you really were from God because of sin, then we will never appreciate, friends, what Jesus has done for us. This message of this Bible, this gospel, the message of Christ, and that word gospel, if you're unfamiliar with that word, it's a summary word. And it's simply summarizing everything that Jesus has done, his death, burial, and his resurrection. The first side is bad news for you and I hate to tell you. And the bad news is this, is that we are more wicked and sinful than we could ever imagine. Now, this understanding is one reason why, express myself in worship. Because I realize more and more each day how sinful I truly am outside of Jesus. You know, one of the things I constantly challenge my staff with this question, when is the last time that you actually cried in the presence of God? When I talk about crying or being emotional in God's presence, what that means is that it's an understanding that I am broken. I am sinful. I am separated from God. And so I'm broken by that because of what He has done for me in Jesus Christ. I have an understanding of how far away I really was, how prideful I was, how selfish I was. And then the gospel begins to open my eyes to who this Jesus is. The older I get, the more I become aware of my sin. The more I become aware of it, how prideful, the lack of patience that I have, I'm aware of it more and more. It's not because righteousness is decreasing. I'm not talking about that. Righteousness is actually increasing in my life. And as righteousness and sanctification, that process that we're going through by the power of the Holy Spirit, as it continues in my life, we should be more aware of our sin. And it causes me to say things like, why have I not gotten better at this? I should be better at this by now. But it reminds me of my need for Jesus, that I'm desperate for Him, that I need Him more and more every single day. And it produces worship. Why do I lift my hands? Why do I clap my hands? Why do I get emotional? Because I realize I need Jesus in a greater way. I appreciate Him more. I'm thankful for what He has done for me. Now this word, there's a word here that's used over and over again in this passage. It's the word transgression or the word trespass. And here's what this word means, because that word is unclear, transgression. We don't usually use that word as we speak today. What does that mean? But that word really means, it means falling down. That I've fallen down from being beside. It speaks of relationship. Of how my sin has separated me from my relationship with God. That our transgressions have violated or harmed our relationships with God. When you hear that word sin or that word transgressions, they're really two different words. Many times they're used very similar, but yet they're two different words. The word sin means, it means I have missed the target. I have missed the mark. Speak of it like shooting a bow and arrow. I have aimed, but I have missed. I have missed the mark. Missed the target. But the word transgression communicates to me something much deeper than I have just missed the mark. See, it's not like when this word transgression is used, it's not like I've shot an arrow and just missed where I was aiming. It's I've shot an arrow at the one who has set the target for me. That's what that word means. I don't like the target you have set. Therefore, I'm going to try to get rid of you. I'm going to shoot my arrow at you. I don't want a relationship with you. I don't want what you have to offer. I want to do my own thing. Whew. My transgressions mean, again, I got to take ownership. My transgressions mean I've offended a holy God. I have violated my relationship with God. So much so that I have fallen from being beside Him. This communicates to us that our sin is personal to God because it separates me from Him. This was not God's choice. This was my choice. I have chosen to walk away from Him. See, what makes sin so sinful? It's not just what I've done. It's who I have done it against. I have sinned against God. Why would we do this? Why would we sin or ever walk away? Or why would we hurt the one who loves us, the one who has created us, the one who's designed us for a purpose? Why would I hate or why would I sin against the one who's given me air to breathe, a mind to think, a body to live out this life? Romans tells me, he clears it up, he makes it real simple. It's because I am just like Adam. Remember Adam? Adam lived what? He lived in what? Perfection. He had everything. Everything was given to him. He had the finest foods. Everything was perfect, this environment that he lived in. It was not hot. It was not cold. It was perfect. I mean, so much so. I better not say that. There's kids in the room. Let's just say that his wife was scantily dressed, meaning nothing on. She walked around. I mean, how much better, man, can it be than that? I mean, perfect. Thank you, James. But he still thought in perfection, God is keeping something from me. So what did he choose to do? He decided to take ownership of his own life, be his own God. God, I can do this better than you, and bam. Sin and wickedness and evil entered our world. And not just our world, but our own hearts because of one man's disobedience. Now, hearing that can cause a temptation to arise. Hold on, Pastor Lance. I would have made a better decision than Adam. Why do I have to be punished for his mistake? I would have said no to the temptation to disobey God. I mean, doesn't it seem fair? Sometimes I talk to God like this. God, it seems fair to me that I am being punished for his decision. I wasn't there. I would have made a better decision. Why do I have to pay the penalty for this man's mistake? Really, the question is, God, why is Adam, why does he get to represent me? Why is he my representative? Now remember, the gospel is always a two-sided coin. Bad news, good news. But the bad news is, we're still on the bad news. Sorry. More bad news to come. See, we would have made the same decision as Adam. We would have done the same thing. How do we know this? We know this because all of us have made the decision to disobey God. No one in this room is perfect. This is why we have the law of God given to you and I. You think about there's over 600 laws in the Old Testament. That's a lot, right? Let's just reduce that down to the Ten Commandments because that's easy for us to take hold of this morning. The Ten Commandments. Every single one of us here have violated and disobeyed one of the Ten Commandments. So why was the law even given? The law, the word says, was given as our tutor. The law was given to you and I to reveal that there's something wrong inside of us. That we are desperate for something, and that something is a Savior. We need to be saved. Thank God that God provided that for us. See, here's the thing about God choosing Adam. God did not choose Adam, but God designed Adam to be our representative. He was perfectly created and designed to act exactly like you and I. To say that we would have made a better decision than Adam is to say that we could have created a better representative than God created. So therefore, we cannot point the finger at Adam and say, Adam, man, this is your fault. But that's what our sin nature wants to do. Our sin nature always wants to blame something or someone else. I'm like this or I talk like this because of the environment I grew up in. Or because what's been done to me. Pastor Lynch, you don't know my experience. What I've gone through, this is why I am like this. Now, yes, we know that we all go through very difficult things. But we can't push how we respond to God or to others because we're not taking ownership of our sin. Where does this come from? This whole idea of pushing it off, blaming someone else. Well, we know it came from Adam. Adam did this very thing. When Adam chose to disobey God, God comes to him. You know what Adam did? He immediately began to blame who? Eve. Sorry, ladies. Men, why do we got to blame our wife? What's up with that? I mean, he not only blamed Eve, he blamed God as well. This woman, God, you gave me, gave me of this fruit and I ate. He immediately began to point the finger and not take responsibility for his own actions. She made me do it. God, this woman that you gave me. I mean, my thought is, what'd she do? Put a limb, tree limb to your head and make you eat? There wasn't any guns in those days. So, I mean, what did she do? But Adam tried to distance himself and not take ownership of who he is. See, really, it's Adam, bud. It's because of your own evil, wicked heart that you did this. You want to be your own God. You want to call your own shots. See, God is telling us here in Romans that we would have done, it's a hard pill to swallow, we would have done and have done the exact same thing as Adam. I'm Adam. We're all Adam. See, here's the thing. This is why it's bad news. It's not that I have lied. I'm a liar. It's not that I've lusted. I'm an adulterer. It's not that I've disobeyed God. I'm an idolater and I want to be my own God. It's not that I've made a mistake. I'm living in rebellion against God. It's offensive. It's this guy named Paul. You know, Paul wrote the book of Romans and he wrote most of the New Testament. Paul does something over and over and over again that really just gets on your nerves. I'm telling you. Paul is a person that you would never want to invite to a party. Because what he does, and he does this constantly when he writes, he continues to remind us of who we were apart from Jesus, how sinful we were. I mean, who wants to be around that guy, right? I mean, I don't want to remind myself of all the bad things I used to do, how sinful I used to be. But he does this over and over and over again. And the reason why is because he knows you'll never receive the true joy, the true happiness that Jesus wants to bring unless you embrace this idea or this truth that I am a sinner. that I am separated from God. Now, this was a difficult pill for me to swallow because I grew up, my parents and everybody telling me how great I was. Hey, man, Lance, you're great. I was fun to hang around. I was a lot of fun to hang out with. Hey, man, you're great. And I'm here to tell you the doctrine of awesomeness. And that's not really a doctrine. I just made that up. But the doctrine of awesomeness. Be telling me how great I was and how great I what I could do kept me from realizing my need for a Savior. And it wasn't until I got hit, because this word is a mirror, and I got hit with this message that, Lance, you're not as great as you think you are. I don't care how smart you are, how athletic you are, you're not that great. Lance, you're evil. Lance, you're a sinner. Lance, you're full of lust and perversion and wickedness. It was offensive. I didn't want to hear it. I got upset at God. No, look what I've done. God says, I don't care what you've done. Outside of what I have done for you, this is who you are. And I, for the first time, it was in the year of 2000, I made the statement, God, forgive me. I am a sinner. And that statement begins to open up and unlock everything, friends, that Jesus wants to bring into your heart and life. Because only from the heart, that statement can never be made from here, but only from here can you humble yourself enough and say, I am a sinner. I'm a sinner. But thank God for the other side of this coin, and this is what I begin to see. Yes, Lance, you're more wicked than you could ever imagine, but here comes some good news. Are you ready for some good news? Man, I'm all about good news, please. I'm telling you. Thank God. The good news is, and this is where verse 15 and all the way through 21 tells us. The good news is, at the exact same time that you begin to understand that I'm separate from Him, my heart is evil, man, I'm a liar, I'm an adulterer, I'm an idolater. At the exact same time, you begin to discover that I am more loved and accepted than I could ever believe. That's good news. That's good news. This idea that Adam is our representative actually points to something pretty amazing. And this is why we can't reject Adam as our representative. See, if Adam's, and this is what Romans 5 is telling us, if Adam's disobedience is our disobedience, what if there was a man who was obedient to God? What if there was a man who obeyed God's law perfectly? Would his obedience be my obedience? Would what he did for me be as if I did the exact same thing? And this is exactly what we discover right here in verse 15 and 19. Let's read this one more time. Verse 15, but the free gift, good news, is not like the trespass, falling away. Remember? For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abound for many. Verse 19, for if by the one man's disobedience, Adam, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, Jesus's, the many, you and I, will be made righteous. Oh, thank God. See, Jesus Christ is the second Adam. And it's through His obedience, through what He did for you and I, that you and I can be forgiven, made righteous, and made new in the eyes of God. We should have been punished. The penalty of violating the law of God was death, separation from God for eternity. It should have been us paying the penalty. But yet God loved you and I so much, He not only removed the penalty in Christ, Jesus obeyed the law perfectly, meaning He obeyed it for us. When we trust in Him, guess what? His obedience becomes my obedience. Even though I have disobeyed and will continue to disobey, the power of God lives in me. We're going to talk more about this, the grace of God. How is the power of God to say no to sin? But yet, we still make mistakes. We still do dumb things, right? But even though that happens, I don't have to be ashamed to come to God. I don't have to be ashamed when I sin. I don't have to come to Him with my head down. No, I come with my head up because why? I know what Christ has done for me. I carry His obedience inside of me. Oh, thank you, Lord. Therefore, friends, listen to me. One of the biggest lies of the enemy is this. When we make a mistake, whether it's in our marriage, our personal life, whatever it may be, there's always that voice that tells us, you're not welcome. Especially when it comes to coming to church. You're not welcome there. Look what you've done. They're going to know what you've done. You're not welcome. Let me tell you, that is a lie of the enemy. You are always welcome because of what Christ has done for you and I. You're welcome. That's why I can go to God with my head held high knowing. But as I stand before Him, I stand before Him covered by what Christ has done for me. His obedience is my obedience. Talk about amazing grace. Grace is something given freely. Jesse, you can come on up. Given freely and generously. It's a free gift. Now listen, I know every single one of us, including myself, I would love for somebody to pay all of my debts off. That would be amazing. It would be awesome. The fact of the matter is that if I work hard enough, if I make some sacrifices, I can do that on my own. But there's one debt that every single one of us has and we can never pay off. And that is the debt we have toward God. Only He can do it. So what does He do? He sends His Son to die an awful death. That's how we know how personal it is to God, our sin. If you've never seen The Passion of the Christ, you need to watch it. It is very difficult to watch. Jesus being beat and crucified, but He was being punished. That's how serious it is to God. God's grace never minimizes sin, friends. God's grace just maximizes His love and His acceptance of you and I. When you see what Jesus had to go through, it should break you. It should move you. So how do we receive this? How do we receive God's grace, this amazing grace? Well, it's simple. It's through repentance and faith. Repentance is, I'm going to live my own life, my own God, do my own thing. I get hit in the face with, man, this is what happened to me in 2000, with who I am. I mean, it was scary. I repent, Lord, forgive me. I say, God, forgive me. See, repentance is a change of mind that produces a change of heart, that produces a change of action. Lord, I'm going this way. God, forgive me for my sin. I take ownership of my sin. Lord, this did not happen. I didn't make that decision because him, her, anybody. It's because of me. It's my own heart. Lord, forgive me. And I turn by faith. There's Jesus. And I look to Him and what He has done for me. The temptation is, as you turn, to always to keep looking back. That's why it's by faith. You have to keep looking to Him and what He has done for you and I. You know, this over the Christmas break, I took my family to see the new Star Wars movie. We love Star Wars. And you didn't know, maybe you don't know this, but Star Wars actually preaches the gospel. You know, you have this Jedi named Rey. I'm not going to give the ending to the movie for those who have not seen it, but basically, Rey has to face the Emperor Palpatine. And if she can defeat the Emperor, the whole galaxy gets to walk in her victory. I'm telling you, that right there is the gospel. Think about it like this. Think about that we're in a city. The city has walls. And we hear that this massive army that is stronger than us, that has more men than us, or more soldiers, I'm sorry, than us, are coming our way. And we're scared because we know we cannot defeat this army. But somebody brings news And the news that that person brings is there's actually been a great champion who has gone out before you. You didn't know they went out, but they went out. And they went out and defeated that army all by themselves. And you simply get to walk in the victory that He has provided for you. That's the gospel. We can never pay the debt of our sin. But our great champion, Jesus Christ, has gone out against our sin, death, and hell. And He has accomplished victory for us. Now you and I get to walk in that victory. We get to receive His amazing grace. Let's bow our heads. Father, we love You. The grace of God, friends, is something we do not deserve. But God gives it to us. Will you receive it today?